I want to read a verse from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and there in verse 7. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The Apostle Peter gives a similar idea when he spoke in 1 Peter chapter 3, and there in verse 20, over a few pages, he said this, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. I'd like us to bow our heads in prayer again, please. Father, we thank thee this morning that you allowed us to assemble once more as a New Testament church. We certainly realize what a privilege it is, such a blessing to be able to come together in this time that you've given us to praise you with prayer and song, and then with the preaching of the word. I pray you cause anything that might hinder us this morning to be removed, and that you would be able to give us liberty and the freedom that we need to proclaim this truth. We're so thankful this morning that salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that you've provided the means whereby that we are saved. Now, Father, you know the need of every person here. Many of us know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Yet there are those that are not saved. And we, Lord, pray on their behalf that if it would please you this morning, that you would cause a holy hush to come over this congregation of people, that the Holy Spirit would move in our hearts and lives, and especially that you would move upon those that are lost. We realize that there is the future judgment that's coming, the wrath of God. It'll be a great deluge. But we realize that there's safety, and you've provided that safety for us in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, would you be pleased to deal with our hearts and our lives, cause us, Lord, to seek your face. Cause us to cry out that we might receive help in this time of need. And I pray that you would guide us and direct us and lead us, enable us that we might proclaim this truth. In Jesus' name, I ask it all. Amen. It's interesting here that in both of these passages of Scripture that I've read, it talks about a person by the name of Noah. And it also mentions an ark, and it mentions the purpose that God designed that ark for. All you have to do is go back into the book of Genesis, and you can find in that sixth chapter, and you can read from verse 1 down to verse 22, how that God instructed Noah to build an ark. Now, the building of the ark was not according to Noah's plans, but it was according to God's plan. You might say this, that the ark was built by divine directions. And everything that we see in the Word of God that had anything to do with picturing the Lord Jesus Christ was always brought about by divine directions. This is true of the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 40, the setting up of the tabernacle. The tabernacle spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go on in the Old Testament to the time of the temple, and the temple also was built by divine directions. Now, God gave the directions to build the ark to Noah. He gave the directions to build the tabernacle to Moses. And he gave the directions of building the temple to Solomon. Now David prepared the materials or gathered the materials together, but was not allowed to build the tabernacle because he was, the temple because he was a man of war. But we find that God gave the directions for the ark, for the tabernacle, and for the temple. Well, then it's no different with the New Testament church. The New Testament church, it was built by divine directions. And all you have to do is to come over to the New Testament and read from the very first year of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now here in Hebrews 11:7 and 1 Peter 3 and verse 20, we look at the ark. To many, the ark is a great mystery. And you study the Word of God and you'll see that the ark is a clear type of the believer's salvation. And so this morning, I want us to think about the ark that God gave divine directions to Noah to build and how that it is a type of our salvation, which is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that I want us to think about this ark is that it was a divine provision. Now this divine provision was provided for Noah and his family. Now why would God provide an ark for Noah and his family? Well, the answer is simple. Why would God provide a Savior for you? You can think the same way. And there in the sixth chapter, it gives us the answer of the book of Genesis, and in verse 8. And this is the reason, or this is why God does anything for us. Here in the eighth verse of the sixth chapter, and here it is. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So, the divine provision of God providing the directions for the ark was by the grace of God. Now Noah was no different than I am or you are. He was just a man of like passion like we are. He was a sinner. He was a sinner in need of a Savior. At this time he was a sinner in need of a salvation from the wrath of God that was going to come upon that world during the day of Noah. I thought about this. Folks, it's coming. The wrath of God's coming. Even as it did here in the days of Noah. And we find that this divine provision was provided by grace. Now, what is interesting about this provision, it was sufficient for all whom it was provided for. I read it, and it was there in that passage of Scripture that I read in 1 Peter and chapter 3 and verse 20, and here's what it says. For which also he went, in verse 20, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. Wherein, now here it is, few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Why such a big ark and such a few saved? Well, you can think about the same thing. As far as the Lord Jesus Christ, now the provision was sufficient for all whom it was provided for. There was a lot in the ark, of course, besides eight souls. We know that when we read in the Word of God. Now, one of the things about this, and is interesting during the days of Noah, and I thought about while it was preparing now, and what he said in verse 7 of Hebrews 11. Now all this comes together. He says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his soul, saving his house. Notice, by which he condemned the world. But what was the world doing? While he was preparing the ark and building the ark, he was condemning the world. But what was the world doing while he was building the ark? What were they doing? Well, you know what they were doing. They were criticizing. And they were mocking. And in essence, what they were doing, they were criticizing God, and they were criticizing God's provision. Here they were criticizing the very thing that, if it had been in God's purpose and plan, could have been their salvation. Same way today with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before the flood came and the ark was built, the plan existed in the mind of God. God knew that he was going to one day have to send a flood or send a deluge, and God already in his mind had a plan made whereby that he was going to save Noah and he was going to save his family. It's interesting to note that, and I think the reason that they thought he was so foolish is because he was building an ark, and when they get into it, no doubt they begin to be like we are, to be inquisitive as to what you're doing. What are you doing, Noah? He said, I'm building an ark. He said, what's an ark? An ark's a great big boat. Or a great big ship. What do you need a boat or a ship for? It's going to rain. What's rain? Now that's how foolish it is that it was to the world. And that's how foolish it is to the world when you talk about that the wrath of God's coming and the only safety is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just as foolish today to this world as it was in the days of Noah. And they sort of give him a big horse laugh. So that old fool over there, building an ark, had never rained. Because when we read, and you can go back in the early part of the book of Genesis in chapter 2 and verse 6, that up until that time, it had not rained and the earth had been watered by a mist. So we see that the world criticized Noah, but really who they were criticizing, they were criticizing God's provision. And I think many times that when people and the world today criticizes the preachers of the gospel and criticize the man of God as he preaches the word of God, they, in essence, who they're really criticizing is God's provision, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the ark was God's divine provision for the salvation of Noah and his family. Now, why did God provide an ark? It pleased him to do so. He was well pleased, or he was happy, to provide a provision for Noah and his family during such a tremendous time. And so the ark was God's divine provision for Noah and his family. But now, let's think about God's divine provision today. Now this ark pictured the one that was going to come and die at the cross of Calvary. So today, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's divine provision for all who believe. This verse of scripture that at our church, we about wear our Bibles out, turning to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And this is talking about God's divine provision. Now look. And she shall bring forth a son, talking about Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now look, for he shall save his people from their sins. So as the ark was the sufficient provision, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the sufficient provision for all that believe. And the same reason that God provided the ark is the same reason that God provides the Lord Jesus Christ for you and for me. It's by grace. I thought about this. God, before that he sent the flood, in the mind of God, knew there was going to be a flood, knew the men was going to be wicked, knew he was going to destroy the world. He also, in his mind, knew that he was going to provide an ark. And yet, God also knew that there was going to be depraved sinners in need of a Savior, and he knew that that Savior was going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was in his mind. That's exactly what John said when he said in Revelation 13:8, when he was talking about the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the provision of God, was in the mind of God from the foundation of the world. He was provided by God the Father. The best illustration, I've used this many times, and I thought about it. Every time there was a sacrifice in the Old Testament, or any time that there, whether it was the ark or the tabernacle or the temple, and anything dealing with any kind of a sacrifice, it always pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that one day was going to come and be the sacrifice for our sins, be the sufficient Savior. I thought about this story, and I've used this so many times over there when Abraham was told of God, you remember, to, it's in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, he was told of God to go out there and to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. Now what was that, in reality, what was that picture? In the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and there in verse 8, it always strikes me when that we find that Abraham's son Isaac looked up to him and said, well now, here's the fire, and here's the wood, and here's the knife, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham had not told Isaac that Isaac was to be sacrificed, but God had instructed him to. And listen to what Abraham says here in this passage of Scripture, and there in verse 8 of Genesis 22, and Abraham said in answer to Isaac, my son. Now look at this. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And you know, in reality, what happened is, in reality, because of Abraham believing, trusting God, Abraham did offer Isaac, accounting God faithful that he could even raise him from the dead. The word of God said. But when he got over there ready to offer the sacrifice, there was a lamb. But that ain't the lamb he's talking about. Now God did at that time provide a lamb, and that lamb was slain there and offered upon that altar as Abraham was obedient to God. But that's not the lamb he's talking about either. Now true, that lamb was there, but look what he said. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now we know the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. When John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that he was God manifest in the flesh too. And so you can read this here, that God will provide himself. In other words, God himself will come. And he came in the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ and died for the sins of his people and those that would believe upon him. So there's a difference between a provision and a divine provision. Now the divine provision wasn't for those that perished, but it was for those that God provided it for. The ark was for the 8 souls that were saved. But yet we see that not only was the ark a divine provision, but it was according to a divine plan. There's a lot of difference in plans and divine plans. We make a lot of plans that are never carried out. But God's divine plan is always accomplished. And it's always carried out. So according to a divine plan, a divine provision was provided. God not only has a divine provision according to divine plan, but he also reveals that provision. God revealed his own design and ordered him to build a place of refuge. He didn't leave it up to Noah. And he didn't leave it up to man. It's interesting to me when I read back there when God instructed in the Old Testament, and it always will refer to and said, and they did as God said, or it will phrase it in a certain way, that all that God said, they did. And so we see that God did not leave this building on the ark or the place of refuge up to a Noah. He had not, at this time, even had any thought or idea that there was Noah didn't, that there was going to be a flood or going to be a deluge, that there was going to even be a need until God revealed it to him. Had God not revealed him to him, you know what he would have done? He wouldn't have gone home. So what good would it be if God had a divine provision for Noah and never revealed it to him? Wouldn't be of any good at all. But this is an impossibility because it was a divine plan. God always reveals the divine provision. And everyone that comes to know Jesus Christ, it's because God revealed himself to them. God did reveal it. He not only is able to provide the divine provision, but he always reveals it to the person that he intends for it to be revealed to. He planned it so that it would be revealed a soul. That's all. No more, no less. And that's why I read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. 8 souls were saved. Now you think about how many perished. Try to begin to imagine how many that perished. Said, well, I don't believe that's right. Who are you to say it's not right? Who art thou, O man, that replies against God? Can the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Romans chapter 9, you can't do it. You may. But you are not in good taste when you do that. So the divine provision was for those eight souls, and in like manner, there has been a divine provision that God has made. And I thought about 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and therein verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. Now who shined in our hearts? It's talking about for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so we see in like manner, the Holy Spirit reveals God's divine provision to us. The only way that anybody will ever know about Jesus Christ is for the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus Christ to them. And to reveal their need of a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God's means is the messenger with the Word of God, which is the sword of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and directing not only the message and the messenger, but the person to whom God would have to receive that message. So we see that the ark was divine provision, and it was according to God's divine plan. Now the reason there was a need of this ark is because there was going to be some divine punishment. Now there's some divine punishment coming. And we refer to it as the wrath of God. It's as certain as though it's already happened. It's as sure. It's coming. And the only refuge during the days of Noah from God's wrath was in God's divine provision, which was the ark. That was the only place of refuge. There was a window in the ark. There was a door in the ark. I mean, the place where you could look up. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But what happened is that when the ark was prepared and built as God had instructed Noah And he told them to go in the ark and win the ark. And then what happened was the windows of heaven were open, the fountains of the deep were broken up. And they came together. It's hard for me to imagine or to think of the catastrophic event or what would take place at such a time that when such a deluge would come. It's hard for me to imagine the wrath of God being poured out in such a manner, in such a way. That was water. That's why we have the rainbow. The rainbow is a token that God will never again destroy this earth by water. And you can count on it. That every time you see the rainbow, it's not a pot of gold at the end of it. It's God's token. It's God's token that I will not again destroy this world with a flood or with water. The element's going to change. The element is going to change from water to fire. A fire that cannot be quenched. A fire that cannot be consumed. And so when the windows of heaven were opened, the fountains of the deep were broken up. I'll tell you how severe it was. Continents moved. Mountains moved. That's why you go on the Andean Mountains and find all kinds of fossils. Because they think and find fossils of animals that never inhabited that part of the country or place. And they say, where did they come from? They came from the flood. They came from the time of God's wrath, when God poured out his wrath. And there was the shifting and the moving of the mountains and the continents as they moved. The strata of the earth was changed, and one layer was placed out of order where it ought not to be as far as man is concerned. It's right where God wanted it to be. So it's hard to imagine such a catastrophic event taking place, but it's God's wrath being poured out. God's judgment. And all that time, there was Noah's Ark. And it was so that it withstood the wrath of God. It was so that it withstood the storm and the waves, and it was built just to where that it would go in the water just right to go over the tallest mountain. That's the way it always is with God's provision, just right. So God poured out his wrath and destroyed all of the inhabitants of this world except those who were in the ark. That's 8 people. And I think of, and I try to imagine how awful that must have been, how fearful it must have been. You ever been in the flood? Now, I've been in some floods. I mean, flash floods. Been where you couldn't get out. You know, water would be around you. Creek on one side, branch on the other side, water up around the house. Water 10 foot over the road. Bridges washed out. It's a frightening experience. But it ain't nothing compared to this flood. We call them flash floods or local floods. This was a universal flood. And so this was God's divine punishment. But as the fellow says, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because the element is going to change from water, and it's going to change from fire. And God's divine punishment is coming upon all those that reject God's Son, the Lord Jesus. Because he's the only one for lost sinners. No wonder Luke wrote and said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can mark it down that divine punishment will never come upon God's people, for as the ark took the punishment of God's wrath, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered our punishment. And he suffered the wrath of God. The wrath of God was poured out upon him. That is, when he became sin. When he said, Eli, Eli, Lama Sabathani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back upon his son. And the reason for that is because his son at that moment became sin. And God could not look upon sin. And it meant that God was taking the judgment of the wrath of God was upon his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we have the divine provision according to God's divine plan, because there's a divine punishment. And the only way to escape that punishment is in God's provision. So then, there's the urgency of the hour, and that brings forth the divine proclamation. Noah was invited to come in the ark. First time the word come is found in the scripture, Genesis 7:1. It occurs over 500 times. It wasn't go, but it said come. And it meant the Lord's presence would be there. Anytime you say come, the Lord's presence would be there. It's the same thought in the gospel. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Now, I believe, and I know the scriptures teaches this, that God works on the heart of the individual. Yet the invitation here went farther. He said, come and all thy house. The invitation was the same. God works on the heart of the individual. And so we see that this divine proclamation goes forth. And that's why we meet. And that's why that we preach. And that's why we proclaim the gospel. A divine proclamation that goes forth. It goes to all that the divine provision was provided for. The Lord says, come. I reckon he does. Listen to John 6:37. Now, and this word come is used here in this passage of Scripture. And it's the same thing, it's the same way as it was with Noah. You ever thought about, you had such a foolish thought, and if God told Noah to come, he didn't. It didn't happen that way. God said, come to Noah, and he went. Now look in John 6 and verse 37, it says this, it says, all that the Father giveth, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. What would be the most hilarious, impossible thing to say that God spoke to Noah and Noah didn't go? Because you can't even think that way, because God said come and Noah went. And when God says come today, the person goes. And the reason for it is, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. So we see the certainty of it here. So all the ones that Christ died for receive the invitation, and the invitation will go out to them, and when the invitation is of God, they'll come. And they'll go to the Savior. And so that's the divine proclamation that goes out. Divine proclamation is how that Christ died for our sins, and he was buried and rose again the third day. And all those that will come to Jesus Christ will be saved from the wrath of God that is to come. Because that's the next thing we're talking about, and that's that divine protection. The ark was the place of absolute safety. You have to read in that sixth chapter of Genesis. You go down about verse 14, you see then how it was pitched inside and without. How God said exactly, it was a watertight, it was a perfect shelter. And that's the same way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the perfect shelter during the time of storm. He is a place of absolute safety and absolute security. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. And this shows. He said, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That means that you're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find that the Lord shut Noah in the dark. Why, in Genesis 7:16, he said that he shut the door. So we see the believer that has trusted Jesus Christ also has been shut in. The Apostle Peter talks about that. Have you ever thought about what Noah and his family's thoughts were, or how they felt. Here they are in the ark. Here's the flood, the deluge coming. Here's bands of people being drowned, perishing. Here are the fountains of the deep being broken. Here are the continents are moving. The mountains are shifting. The scale of the earth is shifting around. You ever thought about how did Noah feel? You know what I believe? He felt just as secure as we do in Jesus Christ. Why? Things are happening all around us. There's all kinds of tragedy. There's all kinds of trials, and there's all kinds of tribulations, and we know that it ain't over yet. But we know that we're safe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe knowing his family's in there wringing their hands and saying, well, I hope she don't leak. I don't think they were in there saying that. Whew, I hope we don't run into something. Don't believe for a moment they ever had thoughts like that. I believe they were fully trusting in the one that had provided that ark for them. And listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:5. He said, when he was talking about this being sealed or shut in, he talks about this lively hope which is Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time or at the last day. Storm comes, turmoil comes, trial comes, tribulation comes, but we're kept with the power of God. That is through faith. Kept with the power of God through faith. And we don't go around, all the flesh sometimes, and the human part of us is perplexed, and there's a lot of anxiety, but we always come down to the same thing, trusting Jesus. Relying and depending upon Him and fully trusting Him. And the reason we know this is because of this great truth found in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Look at this. With Romans 8. Now we're talking about through the time of the flood. We're talking about the time of all of the trials and tribulations and all the things that are coming upon us now and are yet to come. Look at Romans 8. And there in verse 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now we're in the ark of Christ. Just like Noah and his family was in that ark. And they were secure. They were safe. And they knew that God was protecting them. Even as we know that God is protecting us. And here he begins to name all these things that we go through in life. Now look at it. Shall tribulation. Tribulation comes and you know that the love of God through Christ Jesus is right there with you. Or distress. These are distressful times. You know, we're in a war. This is a stressful time on our nation, on every person. And then for persecution. Then he talks about family. He says, nakedness, or, you know, and peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we were killed all the day long, we were counted sheep for the slaughter. But notice, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. That is, through the ark of safety. God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For I am persuaded, and here's what we face, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now folks, that's divine protection. And he that cometh unto me, I will nowise cast out. John 6:37. So I'm thankful that God provided a divine provision or no. And I'm glad that God has provided divine provision for me and for all those that will be saved, and God's divine plan will be carried out in detail, complete. Amen. Won't be a one of them missing and none lost. There will never be any punishment, or that is condemnation or judgment, that's going to come upon God's people. And all those in Christ will persevere. They are preserved. They are absolute security. The God of heaven provided a sufficient sacrifice, one that was perfect, the only begotten Son of God, and all those chosen in Christ, Ephesians 1:4, will come, for he will draw them, and they will rejoice when he calls them by his grace. He will complete their salvation and glorification. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He that has begun a good work in you will perform. So what do we have? Now think of the ark and think of Jesus Christ as the type of the ark. Divine provision according to divine plan, providing divine protection from divine punishment. And it is preached by divine proclamation. And what we're saying is, this is all of God. From the provision to the preaching, it's all of God. Well, you go back and you read Genesis. You're there in Genesis chapter 6 and you read about that flood. And then you think about that we're close to the time that God again is going to quite as right. It may be today. But even if it's today, I know there is a place of absolute security and safety. That's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really who the ark spoke of. And the ark was a type of, picturing the wrath of God being poured out upon the world, and the only place of safety was in Jesus Christ. And this morning, God's wrath and punishment is coming, and there's only one place that you'll be safe. And that's in Jesus Christ. I believe that God brought us to this time to preach this message, that by the Holy Spirit he may cause you to see what your need is, and cause you to see the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the place where you receive and trust him as your personal Savior. Many of us this morning will go away here rejoicing. We've gone through a lot of heartache in this life. Some of you are, not a lot, some of you are older than I am. And everything you've always gone through, you've always had Jesus Christ. Through everything. You're secure. And you know, even perhaps some of you, according to nature, are facing death before I do. Now, we don't know that from God, but according to nature, and you know it don't bother you because you've got that security. You have that ark. You have Jesus Christ. But some of you this morning don't have Jesus Christ. You don't have any stabilizing influence in your life. When daily things come, and toils and troubles and heartache comes, and most of all, the most fearful thing of all, is if you were to die in that condition, you'd die without the ark of safety. And you'd suffer the divine punishment of the Christ. So the only hope this morning for you is that you would receive Jesus Christ. Oh, would you not flee from the wrath of God? And there's only, oh, the Son, he said, lift up your eyes to the heels from which comes thy help. He said, lift up your eyes to redemption, Lord. Now, who are you talking about? He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, our refuge, our awful Savior. Aren't you happy this morning to say, no Jesus Christ? But aren't you so troubled this morning,
If you're not saved, and you need a Savior, and you can be saved this morning, by simply trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.